bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Good evening and welcome to The Gamer Show. I am here as always with Mr. Whiteley. How are you this evening, Sam?
Eating biscuits.
What have you got for us tonight?
Old favourite. Old reliable.
What are they? Fig rolls?
Yeah.
Fig rolls. Nice, nice. And Chiz?
Not too bad. I'm just quite happy he's not brought soggy biscuits this time.
It is his style. It is his style. We have some feedback tonight. It's quite a long one, and it's got some words in that Sam's going to have to jump in and pronounce for me. But I'll just read out. It's a very kind review from Heed the Ball, and it's titled The Pinnacle of Game Review Shows. To listen to this show is to know and feel pure joy. Sorry, true joy. That wasn't even a word. That was difficult as well.
You read this out badly to us before, and now you've stumbled.
This is practiced.
Snarling satire and cracking wit combined with unending insight into modern gaming Mazimia.
I didn't see the word. I'm just going to lay
a veritable melting pot of wisdom, inspiration and emotion fueled by the hive mind of our mighty
Triumvirate.
There we go. The physical perfection and romantic prowess of our beloved trio are well known. Well, that's true.
Hell yeah.
But to discover
I'm always getting rocks thrown at me.
But to discover the laser focus of their gaming intelligence left me intellectually stunned. As a people, we are all diehard fans of The Gamer Show, whether we have listened to it or not. Too awe-inspiring to deny, it is our default state of being. I wish the Holy Trinity of Gaming long life and eternal happiness, befitting their status as gods among men. Gentlemen, we press R2 to kneel before your greatness. Well, that is some review.
Brown-nosing bastard.
I would like to, being the other chap who reviewed us, has never got back to claim his fantastic prize.
Has he still not got
I
back?
Think we should you now, know? I think we should now offer it to, what was his name again?
Heed the Ball. We give Alex Rodriguez one more week. Well, till the next show, till the next recording.
1 week. I'm a hard ass.
Well, we're going to give you till the next recording. So, episode 8, Alex Rodriguez. And if you don't claim your prize by then, we will open it up to Heed the Ball.
Do we not all suspect Heed the Ball is someone we know anyway?
Possibly.
It does kind of read like that, actually.
We can't work out who it is, but we think
okay.
We do.
Well, Alex, could you just get in touch with us? Because, frankly, these games are kind of gathering dust in a shelf. So, please
where they
get
belong.
In touch. Just... contact me on Twitter and you can get your games. Anyway, moving on swiftly. Moving on swiftly, we have some news to discuss this evening. I have sat and crafted these news items into a perfect flow with amazing segues. So
again, you're
be prepared.
So smug with it.
So we are going to start off the news stories tonight with an article about downloadable content. So apparently, this is just basically an article that's talking about developers trying to drag more money from players by adding in extra levels and missions and things like that in the downloadable content, crowbarring in multiplayer elements, and then also, and I've experienced this as well, is content that's already on the disc, but you're paying to open it up. Mm-hmm. Which, what's your thoughts here? Vent, gentlemen.
If when it comes to DLC, I don't know. I don't mind map packs and stuff, but for games, for example, it's Mass Effect 3. I'd actually want a proper for the game. I want a proper Singapore DLC, which I think is coming, but there's been that much multiplayer DLC.
I mean, take a fudge.
Okay, you enjoy your fudge stick.
But there's that much multiplayer DLC, and I've never even played the multiplayer, and it's Mass Effect 3. I want single-player DLC, and stuff adds story and something to it, because eventually got a bit of... It was DLC for Batman Arkham City with the Harley Quinn download, which added... Even though it was short, it still added a bit of story to it, a bit of single-player, rather than just... It was challenges before that with... it was Nightwing, which... All fair and good, but I wasn't interested in that. I wanted more Batman and more story.
I saw, incidentally, a couple of kind of screenshots of that. I haven't played it. Haven't really played Arkham City that much. But it appeared that Nightwing was holding a broom handle. And just look quite shoddily dressed. Just look like a little tramp with a broom handle. Quite an angry tramp.
See, I don't
okay.
mind.
Okay,
moving on. I don't mind downloadable content in the in some sense. I think Rockstar's got the hang of it. Downloadable content for Grand Theft Auto and Red Dead Redemption was actually pretty damn good. Red Dead Nightmare, for example.
Yeah. They didn't have a lot of downloadable content, but what they did have was it added more to the game, added more to the story, rather than just, you know, you can give this new map, for multiplayer now, where you get new weapons, which is like...
Or another 50 pigeons.
Yeah. Oh, God, no.
Yeah. or some boar.
But, I don't know, like...
squirrels.
And, yeah, but you were saying, but it's Capcom, I think, they're probably the worst culprits, which apparently they're changing because they've got that much... of a slagging off for it was putting it was content already on the game, but you couldn't access it until a few weeks later when you could buy the code to unlock it, which was just taking the piss a bit, basically, because it's already on the disc.
I know. There's a whole
and
game...
When they hold back DLC purposely as well, it's ready, but they don't put it on.
Yeah, that's filthy.
I hate that as well. It's just like, oh, come on.
There's a whole game segment for kids, and it was a colleague of mine that was telling me about this. I didn't actually realise this. I'd seen... and off the top of my head, I can't remember what it's called now. You'll have seen it in game stores and things like that. It's the little plastic men. You buy them in packets on their own and they come in packs.
Skylanders,
yeah. And he was telling me about this. He bought it for his sons.
I hang about the kids section.
he bought it for his sons. And apparently what it is you've got the game, which is fine, and it seems to be just a kind of a platform game, maybe a battle game. I'm not actually sure about that. But then you buy these characters. To explain, the game comes with like a little plate almost that plugs in through USB. You then buy these characters in the shop. You pop the character on the plate. It has some kind of near-field communication chip or something like that. And it then tells the game that you've paid for that character and you've unlocked it. So all of these characters are in the game. But all you're doing is by buying this character, it's then telling the game that you own that character. Yeah. Now, each of these little models is £7 or £7.99 or something like that.
That would kind of be fine if the game itself was free in the first place.
No. It's like £40 for the game.
That really gets on my nerves.
At the same time, it's... genius for money spinning because they're going to make an absolute, and they are making an absolute fortune out of it.
Oh, they're in every shop.
But at the same time, it's just like bastards.
Yeah, it is ridiculous. He and I may have gotten this completely wrong, but he also told me there's something. It's actually it's complete death when one of these characters dies, so you have to actually buy the £7 character.
No.
Might be wrong about that. I'm sure he did tell me that, but
that's totally evil.
You know, if we were doing like a proper gaming show, I might have researched that before I just made that wild.
That would take away from our fantastic rustic charm.
So, speaking of downloadable content,
Shut up. We weren't finished there. Own fault. You blew it already, Paul. Preemptive.
Yeah.
Okay, fire on. What are you going to say?
I'm sure it's the Wii U. Its controller is going to add like one of those. It's got like the same thing on that these plates have. So you could basically, Skylanders will just go straight with the Wii U without you having to buy all that thing, apparently, I'm sure.
Right.
And like, and apparently it's got, I can't remember what it's called, it's got a NCU chip or whatever the hell it's got.
NFC.
That's it, yeah.
Ah, so that'll mean that you don't have to buy the plate or anything like that. It'll be quite cool. So, speaking of downloadable content, we had a little audio problem there, and I just really tried to just smooth that over. If you didn't notice, please send me chocolate.
We were totally disgusted.
speaking of downloadable content, Valve has released Coldstream for the PC and the Mac. Now, this is completely against what we were just talking about, in that it's free. It's an entirely new section of Left 4 Dead 2 that's free.
Valve put up a small crap town.
Coldstream. Yes, for those of you that don't live near the Scottish borders, there is a town just on the border to England called Coldstream. Coincidentally, my good lady teaches there. So, anyway.
That's great, by the way. That was a cunning joke.
It's called Coldstream. Cold, space, stream. It seems to be quite a bit of downloadable content to be given away for free. Both of you are looking blankly at me. I'm assuming neither of you know anything about this.
I had heard of it, but how much of the DLC is there? It's like, it's free, but how much is there? It's like a whole new map and area and a mission.
I believe it's almost an entirely new story. It's kind of like Red Dead Nightmare. It's basically an entirely...
That just reiterated the same map, though, with zombies spawning instead.
Yeah, okay, sorry. What I mean is it's almost an entirely separate thing.
You know, like, okay. In Left 4 Dead and Left Dead 2, but there was basically, it was like five... They vaguely linked on to each other. It was like five or six sort of ways to go from point A to point B to escape.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all the kind of self-contained little stories that vaguely link to each other. It's just the same idea. It's just another big chunk of that. Another, like, it's like another level to add
right,
on.
Okay.
Is it like one of them to add on to the six that's already on the game or something, do you mean?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think I'm one of the last folk on the planet to not own Left 4 Dead 2.
It was me and Lewis and Sam played mm-hmm. Death when we first got
played Left 4 Dead, but not Left 4 Dead 2.
But I've not played Left 4 Dead 2.
It was on sale on Steam for like a fiver last week, I think it was. Yeah. I don't know if it's still on, actually. I played it
on PC. It's one of the few that I did used to religiously play on Xbox.
Mm. But that's available anyway. And I hope our insight there has sold it to you. While we're on Valve...
Left 4 Dead's awesome game.
Yeah, it is an awesome game. So while we're on Valve, Valve CEO Gabe Newell had some things to say about Windows 8. Apparently, Windows 8 is a catastrophe for for everyone in the PC space.
Yeah, I saw that article. It was actually on the BBC website, and it just said Windows 8 catastrophe. Yeah. And left it at that without actually expanding on it in any way.
Did they say who even said it?
No, just a title. Windows 8 catastrophe made it sound like an absolute.
The programs were consent and nothing started killing puppies.
Yeah. Whereas it's coming with an integrated
app store.
Yeah,
yeah. I think that's basically the problem that Valve have is that. I think they're a bit concerned that the iOS effect will happen and everybody will just buy their games from the Windows App Store. I don't think
they will.
Mm. They're also worried about they have to, while it's like a free service, like it's open source to put whatever you want on the PC. They reckon with Windows 8 you probably have to get charged to put things on Windows 8 or something.
Yeah, I'm just not convinced. I mean, I read that bit of the article that was talking about Linux and they were going to make a Linux version of it, and I think it's a good idea. I'm just not convinced. My theory is on their game plan there is that because Dell and everybody like that have got that small margins, I mean, you'll know, Sam, you know, having a shop, but the margins on computers and reselling to the public and stuff are getting that small mm-hmm. that sticking Linux on them would instantly remove that OEM cost for Windows. So maybe they're taking a gamble that Dell are going to start releasing Alienware with Linux on.
Possibly. Maybe. But, I mean, this ties into the whole thing, but they're also all quite annoyed with them for bringing out... What's the new Windows tablet?
The tablet, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're all a bit peeved Surface. About that coming with its... because they don't have to pay for... So they're automatically going to be able to undercut their competitors.
But some prices were released for that, and...
They're not undercutting anything.
No, it's kind of three times the price of an iPad.
No. There's like a professional version which has...
It's like a grand and a half, I saw.
Yeah, but...
I've seen...
There's a home version which is like four or five.
The one...
Still more expensive than an iPad.
The article I saw was... I think this was in... Was it Sweden or something like that?
329.
And there was a retailer Direct in Sweden has outed the price and they said it was like £600 or something like that. Even then, that was not a set price. They were just saying it was a placeholder price.
Ah, right. Okay, so it may end up coming down a bit.
They've still not announced what it's actually going to be.
You know what? I think they've got a chance in the enterprise market. I don't think it's going to make much of a dent in the iPad, Android, and Amazon, albeit it's Android. I'm kind of getting in a different show here, but I don't think it's too much to worry about there. But... it was interesting, though, that they had a direct stab at Windows, which, you know, they're not really helping themselves when that's the main platform for Steam. And then they're going to end up, if they do end up doing a Linux version, they're going to open it up and say, oh, yeah, it's going to be a number one platform, the same as the Mac is, and the Mac has not been a number one platform.
No.
Cool.
I can see Valve being approached by it's Microsoft and them actually making sure that they're going to be well looked after for it's Windows 8, because they wouldn't want to lose them and get what bad press they're now getting from them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, if you want to work for Valve or a company like Valve, what do you reckon one of the requirements you might need in your CV is?
Badger wrangling.
Badger wrangling, right, okay.
That'd be a top of my list.
Well, Well, if you want to work for Bioshock Studio, Irrational, they have now got a clause, it's on one of their new positions for design manager. The applicants must have worked on at least, this is a direct quote, at least one game with an 85 plus average Metacritic review score. This is, I can't see the logic behind this at all. Well, I can see the logic, but it's stupid logic.
Its developers are taking its Metacritic as some sort of holy word now.
Yeah.
It's got to be, it's Metacritic's a really handy thing, but for consumers, when actually the developers, I suppose it's a good way to get to check what the reviews are like, but at the same time, there's films, for example, if you go and see a film like, for example, The Dark Knight Rises last week, absolutely brilliant film, and there's a few really bad reviews on Metacritic who are people who don't even know what they're talking about, to be honest.
Yeah.
I've got a voice out there when they shouldn't have one. But the same happens in games, but I'm sure I've heard about some developers have got in the contract as well, they don't get like a certain bonus. It's like if a game gets over 8% on Metacritic, they get a bonus. If it gets below that, they don't.
Oh, wow.
And things like that. But it's like that's the only medium that would happen in. It's like, for example, that wouldn't happen, say, to someone writing a book. You sell this many copies, we'll give you this bonus,
Does it though? Because with sports players, you get that because you get like goal scoring bonuses and all this kind of stuff.
But shouldn't be based solely on bloody Metacritic.
Yeah, well, it shouldn't be based solely on Metacritic. Definitely, yeah.
It's like saying to a restaurant, right? You've got to get 5 stars on what's the tourist one?
Touristy eat place.
Touristy eat place thing. Yeah.
It's like a director getting told that he won't get paid unless his film gets rated a certain thing on Metacritic as well.
Yeah,
it's
I know.
It's just like you can't go down that road.
By definition, Metacritic, it's a critic site, so it's a person's opinion, or maybe a multiple people's opinion, but nevertheless, it's still opinion based. Arguably, you can game it too. You know, enough people say yes or no to something, it's gonna end up having an effect. Whatever role this is for, and whatever game this is ultimately going to create. Sorry, I've just realised I'm still wearing my ID tag from work, so I've just pulled it out.
Could you look more like a psychopath in that picture?
Actually, my Costco card, I look insane.
That's fairly accurate.
Yeah. I'm here to buy Oreo sugar.
So whatever there's roles for the Bioshock game, I doubt it would work on the latest gaming device running Android, which is the Droid X360. Have you seen anything about this? It's a new handheld
game. Segue?
That's my segue.
Crap.
The Droid X360 is like a Vita running Android. One of my favourite quotes about this article is, technically average device. Well, let's shout that from the rooftops.
Have you mentioned where it's been made?
It's China. Yeah.
That's
so, I mean, chances are it's probably going to be pretty cheap build quality, I would imagine. But, I was reading this and kind of going,
the more
this is
we go on about this, the more this whole section could just be about me. Cheaply built, technically average. It's me.
But
I'm buying one.
Yeah, no, I quite like the idea of it. It's loaded with N64, SNES, NES, Game Boy Advance, Game Boy Color, Game Gear, PS1, and Mega Drive emulators. This actually looks like could be kind of cool.
For about 15 minutes, and then you go back to your modern equivalent. Equivalent.
I think it was an article I came across online, and they were showing all the insane... it's Chinese inventions and what they had ripped off from consoles and from Apple and whatnot, which I'm sure you're aware of as well.
Yeah.
And some of them were just absolutely hilarious and genius at the same time.
Yeah.
Like amazing video game machine.
it's almost certainly not legal. No. I would say there's when it comes to that kind of thing. But
are international lawyers not allowed in China or something? Like that?
I think there's like a big.
Was there not like a fake Apple store which is still meant to exist?
China has different rules and that kind of stuff.
They just don't care.
No, but almost certainly not legal. But if you are looking for some retro fun that is legal, Toe Jam and Earl is. These are getting worse as it goes. Toe Jam and Earl is now available on the PS3.
Good.
Yeah, I have to admit...
It's in the making, it's not available.
It's in the making. Yeah. I read this and I was a bit kind of...
This is someone I put up. I love Toe Jam and Earl.
Yeah.
Mega Drive days.
Did you read what I put on there? Which I think is far more exciting.
Also, can't find a link to There's an Earthworm Jim game brewing.
Oh, is that you? I thought it was Paul.
Yeah. I don't think anything has really happened yet.
The original group, the original developers and designers who made Earthworm Jim doing another one.
Yeah.
It's going to be still 2D. Which is far better, I think, than bodging it into 3D. They've kind of redesigned him.
Is he now like a snake?
Yeah, there's a bit of argument about apparently because someone's, I think one of the artists has done him looking a bit wimpy because he's out of shape.
He's not wriggled about as much.
He's wearing a mechanical body. How's he like?
I think his mechanical body's deflated.
I think
it sounds far more exciting than Toe Jam and Earl.
Yeah.
Which was. No,
Toe Jam and Earl, I love Toe Jam.
Splodgy thing.
I never really got. Was that one of them games? Do you remember that Christmas? Can we say this? That Christmas where you found all your Christmas presents, of which two of them were Mega Drive games, you played them, completed them before Christmas Day.
Well, no, one was the McDonald's kids weird.
Mick and Mac.
Yeah, Mick and Mac. Yeah. That literally took 10 minutes and I completed the game. The other one was Jurassic Park for the SNES, which was an awesome game.
That's a great game.
And I don't think I ever completed that because of the age it was, and it was like, this is too hard, but I love it.
Yeah. I do remember I was disgusted at that because I was a good kid. I was disgusted that Chiz found his two Mega Drive Christmas presents and completed them before. Well, they didn't complete the second one.
That's pretty bad, Chiz. Yeah.
Anyway,
there's only three.
And while we're on the PS3, there's rumours of a new Super Slim PS3.
They've already done one. They're bringing up another one.
I know. I mean,
Sony love their Slims.
Yeah. Well, they're trying to.
Maybe hate fat chicks.
They appear to be. They just bring out new hardware. I mean, they're spending their time kind of making smaller and smaller components. They're making it cheaper and cheaper and cheaper with the capacity size because they're kind of bringing up the capacity now. So it's 160 gigabyte, a 320 gigabyte, a 500 gigabyte. And then there's this other one that there seems to be a bit of mixed opinion as to whether this is a typo or not, but apparently there's going to be a 16 gigabyte one. But there's a theory that somebody just missed the zero in the in the spec.
That could be true because I reckon it could be to rival what Microsoft had done with their 4 gig one.
Mm.
We could just buy the hard drive for it afterwards, but have that one really cheap.
Yeah.
But can we just with a drive inside it, and then if you want to obviously improve it, you buy a hard drive to put in it.
Yeah, yeah. They're kind of suggesting that it might be launched or at least announced at Gamescom, which is just around the corner. Yeah. So, but I mean, it's been 3 years. I couldn't believe it'd been 3 years since the last relaunch. Because I look back and it was 2009.
You've got the.
I've got the slim one. Yeah.
I've still got the fat one, which I like it.
Yeah. Works.
Yeah. Well, it plays games at the end of the day, yeah. And there was also that there in one of the articles I read. It hints that they're possibly going to redesign the Move as well, and the Move only came out last year.
No one bought it. Why redesign it?
Well, possibly because no one bought it because it was rubbish. But they were saying there's a quote from and oddly have not actually cited the source here, but it says, well, these technologies continue to evolve, so our hardware guys are always searching for and talking to different tech providers, so never say never. And that was directly relating to Move. Yeah. So it's kind of suggesting that they might be redesigning that as well.
Crack on, lads.
Yeah, it looks like the PS2 as well.
Whether or not it's a photo... Whether or not they're true or not, although they look pretty real. But... I wish they'd stop dicking about this, and actually what they should do is have some sort of download to bring back the PS2 emulator so mm-hmm. you can play PS2 games on your PS3. It's one thing, because I've still got a catalogue of PS2 games that I might play again, but I'd have to get my PS2 out to play it.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I didn't get one of the first PS3s.
You wouldn't, though.
Well, it's a handy thing to have, though. It's annoying that it's not backwards compatible. Well, the 360 is with most games, but there's a few it doesn't
play. I don't think I've ever played an old Xbox game on my 360.
I've not played that many, to be honest, either, but... But it's still, you'd still rather have it and not, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the previews. Chiz, what are you looking forward to this week?
Going
back to work in like 3 weeks' time or something.
2 weeks' time.
It sucks to be you.
I think it's mid-August or end of August. Sleeping Dogs.
All right.
Which looks quite interesting. It was going to be the true crime game, the latest version of that, until it got canned by Activision, and then I think Square Enix picked it up, but obviously weren't allowed to take the name, so they've renamed it Sleeping Dogs and added to it, and actually what I've seen looks pretty good. It looks like a crazy Hong Kong version of Grand Theft Auto, where you can jump from car to car, and it's a combat that looks good. And
I had
it looks all right. It looks quite fun.
Are you not supposed to be a detective or something like that?
Yeah, yeah. A detective, whether or not you're undercover or whatnot, but yeah.
I thought that looked quite interesting.
Whether or not you'll have the detective things going on, but I think it'll be reasonably more straightforward than that. But just, it could be. Well, I think it might be worth the rent, but I'm keeping an eye on that, because what I've seen of it so far looks pretty good. And they've clearly stolen, I don't know if you stolen the Batman sort of fighting mechanic.
Yeah, right,
but
okay.
Of all the things to buy, I don't think it's a bad thing.
Arkham Asylum one.
Yeah, but it's not a bad thing to steal, because
it's very good.
It's a very good fighting mechanic, I think.
Mm-hmm. Sam, what have you got for us?
Not much. There's yeah, not I do a vast notice, amount I'm looking forward
to. In the show
to
notes, you've listed two games that we've talked about in a previous episode.
Because I haven't got that much more that I want to talk about.
Well, okay. So
I want people to bring out something that's going to excite me.
Yes, do it.
Apart from Rome 2, yeah, okay. Which I am so excited about. But I can't talk about that again because it's boring. Even more boring than I normally am.
Well, then we'll ask, have you seen any more information on it since last time? Or nothing?
No, not really.
I am quite looking, and I imagine I'm going to get a groan from you guys here. I'm quite looking forward to Fable the Journey.
No.
Is that the Kinect Fable, isn't it?
Well, yes, it is. Yeah. It is the Kinect Fable, and you can't play it unless you've got a Kinect. Comes out the 4th of September. And I really enjoyed previous Fable games. I kind of do feel they were in a little bit of a downward spiral. I didn't enjoy Fable 3 as much as Fable 2.
Yeah.
It was good, but just not as good.
The ending was awful.
Yeah, I know.
It's a great big long game, and then suddenly it jumped you. Like, no, done now, bye.
Yeah.
It was the whole point we became king, and then I liked the idea of like, all the choices you made during the game, they then had to suffer the consequences and make more choices. Basically, you had to choose. And I liked that, but it just didn't.
Yeah.
It was a good idea, but they didn't follow through enough. There was it was like five choices.
But it did actually do that, though.
Yeah.
Like, you did suffer. Because there's not many games. You know, that's one of the big criticisms of Mass Effect.
Yeah.
Because they didn't bring the choices in, but they actually managed it.
Because I liked you could build up. It was your treasury full of gold, and if you were a good king, you basically had no cash left at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you're a bastard, everyone was dead, but you had tons of money.
Which is pretty much everyone's ideal.
I really like the idea of this, because I'm desperate for something to work with Kinect, and that's why I played that. I really want Kinect to kind of happen in a really good way. Like, you know that tank, or mech, I've completely blank.
Yeah, the Met game you're talking
about. Yeah. I talked about it a couple of shows ago. I really wanted that to be cool, and it just felt crowbarred on. It was like somebody kind of went, we should do a Kinect game, but then we want to just chuck on all this extra pap, and it's completely unnecessary. And this, I'm not going to go out on a limb here and say I think this could be good, but there's a chance if they've executed this properly and they've thought it out as a Kinect game from the ground up, which it kind of seems that they have, being that you can't play it without Kinect, as far as I can understand, there is a chance that this might actually be what we've been waiting for Kinect. And I'm holding out a bit of faith for that, I have to say. I mean, the fact that it's also been built in the Unreal Engine, everybody who's seen it so far seems to say that it makes Albion look amazing just because of the new technology in there.
What I've seen of it so far, the videos, I've not been too impressed with it.
I know. I'm really holding my hope.
Looks like a Time Crisis with cuteness.
I'm holding out hope.
There's one Kinect possibility that B came up with that I doubt he'll remember because he was very drunk at the time.
I dread to think, are we going to be able to say this on this podcast, whatever?
Boobs jiggle one. Just jiggle boob.
Awesome. Right, okay.
The follow-on for that was Lesbo Jiggle.
Chess, what have you been playing this week?
Fable Journey. what have I been playing this week? After Sam talked about the Steam sale last time, I investigated it. And I don't know if it was a bit of weirdness in Steam sale, but they were selling the entire Grand Theft Auto series. As in, it was Grand Theft Auto 1, 2... 3, 4, and both the DLCs for that for £5.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's some incredible deals.
But at the same time, they were selling Grand Theft Auto 4 with both the DLCs just on their own for £5. And just like, I think I'll have all of them for the same amount of money. Even though I own Grand Theft Auto 4 on the Xbox and played it to death, I thought, I'll see what it's like on the PC, the graphics are any better. No, they're not really. But I took advantage of being on PC and modded the crap out of it and started putting real cars into it and stuff. I probably spent more time modding it and adding stuff to it than actually playing the damn game. It's like, put my car in it. I'll put this in it. Veyron. Just chucking tons of stuff. I spent most of my time doing that than actually playing the damn game. And I actually did play it. I went, I'm kind of bored of Grand Theft Auto 4. As pretty as it looks now.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, that's what I've been doing. I've been
cool
modding.
You've had 2 weeks of just sitting about in your house.
I've not played
with nothing
games
to do.
Oh, yeah, basically.
And I kind of really expected you to have a list as long as your arm this time.
Well, I was. I was imagining playing Fable of Journey with my pink wand and shooting my magic white magic. I don't all the gold.
Your magic white magic?
Sam, what have you been playing this week?
I've been playing From Dust. Oh, no, I haven't. I haven't been playing From Dust because it doesn't work! And I'm a bit annoyed.
Hang on. Sorry, Sam just growled that loudly that he's cut off his microphone because it thinks that there was a feedback problem.
I'm a bit annoyed.
Yes.
There was quite a bit of spit as well.
Yeah. There probably was. The DRM for From Dust, mm-hmm. which I can't remember the creators, but they're idiots.
All right, okay.
I have a previously existing account with them. Mm-hmm. So I logged it in. Under them, I can log in onto their online, the log into my account on their site.
Yeah.
Fine. Will it let me log into their game manager? No. So I'm not buying anything from them anymore. Sod 'em. And I would advise everyone not to. Sod 'em until they fix it.
Yeah. On the subject of it was a game I was looking at, because I was looking at something to talk about in the preview section, and I saw a game that I kind of thought, Sam, you would have mentioned before now, because I hadn't actually...
What?
So it's Fallout, the MMO. You not fancy that?
No, I think it's going to be...
To be honest, I couldn't find a decent video for it, and it's supposed to come out in like a month and a half, which kind of suggests that they probably don't want to shout about it, because it looks a bit naff.
It's
like 2 months or something.
It's going to be really rubbish.
Which is a right shame.
I loved all of the Fallout series, including Fallout New Vegas, which a lot of people didn't like at all. Although some of the missions are a bit rubbish.
You know, I think what could have really... Because they're probably going to... And again, didn't really... Any videos I saw didn't really go into this, but they'll probably use the kind of the look and feel of Fallout 3. But what could actually make a really cool MMO would be Fallout 2.
Mm.
And have that kind of open world, a top-down kind of view.
Fallout 2 was incredible. I still think it's probably the best of all of them.
Yeah,
so
Fallout
far.
2 was really, really good. Also, because that was one of the first times I cut my teeth on hacking game code, because I managed to get into the... it wasn't even that difficult, to be honest. It was I managed to find the file that holds all my capabilities as my character, and it was all in hex code. So I just maxed everything out in the little file and then reopened the game again, and I was invincible. Loved that.
You missed the whole point in the game.
A little bit, Paul.
Oh, no, I know. It's all good.
I
so,
cheated and gave myself power armor from, like, the first second.
Yeah, yeah.
Which ruined it.
It made it better, though, actually, going in the back end. There was something a little bit challenging.
I thought it was the random encounters that made it fantastic.
Paul loves going in the back end.
Really? Yeah. I, this week, have decided, because... to be honest, I really just kind of wanted to continue playing Assassin's Creed, and I really didn't want to use up my limited gaming time. So in an effort to not do that, and because we were talking a lot about mobile gaming last time, I decided to try and find a decent mobile game. And it was also kind of inspired by the Dark Knight Rises game that came out on the iPad, which is actually all right. And I mean, it was just a bit. It looked really, really cool.
Ruined by controls.
Well, yes, but I have a theory about that. So what I did was I played the Dark Knight Rises. I got Max Payne 2. The original Max Payne, Grand Theft Auto Chinatown Wars, Grand Theft Auto 3, and then just to add a little bit of something, I got Lego Harry Potter, and the Back to the Future games, because I thought, I tried to stay away from stuff like Angry Birds and Cut the Rope and all that kind of stuff, and tried to go with games that were a little bit more immersive, so games that you would actually, if it was on a PC or
proper games.
Yeah, like a proper game that you'd sit for play for a couple of hours with. So I decided to try and take all of them and at least play like an hour or so with each of them and see how I got on. And the only game that I actually found that I wasn't fully aware that I was sitting basically prodding at a bit of glass with and made it uncomfortable was the Back to the Future games.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the Lego game.
The Lego game still had an element of you having to like guide the guy around with your finger. Batman was good, but the problem with Batman was the functions, because there was that many functions, so you had like your Batarang, you had your Bat Rope, you had your fighting, your blocking and everything like that. Only certain buttons appeared on the screen at times when you needed them. So if you walked towards the edge of a cliff, then the button for to hold your cape out to glide appeared. And it was only when enemies were near that you had the button to punch. And it was stuff like that. And it was just, it kind of led you through the game.
When no one's around.
Yeah. fair enough.
Like, there could have been like a crate or something that he could have punched and broken and got something from.
Yeah.
But each and every time you came up to anything that you could use a function with, it came up with that
it
icon.
It also kind of ruined a bit of the I'm not going to say fear, but like the unknown. Because like if I was walking towards the corner of a building and then the button to attack came up, I knew, oh, well, there's a guy standing around the corner here, so I need to go a bit stealthy or maybe attack from above or something like that.
It's like playing, like, say, you're playing a normal game on your Xbox, but you're constantly getting prompts on the screen telling you what button to push.
Exactly.
It's like
constant quick time event.
Yeah.
It's
basically having the hints on all the time or something.
And, I mean, in itself, it wasn't a bad game. I'd recommend it. I think it was like £4 or something like that. I'd recommend it for, again, playing on the train or playing on your commute, assuming you don't drive. It was a great wee game, but it just, sitting with an iPad or an Android device or whatever for any length of time, it just didn't feel natural, it didn't feel nice. Max Payne was the same. It was all about the controls. Max Payne was a little bit better, but there seemed to be no way to switch off the fact that you always auto-aimed at the enemy.
Mm.
So you basically just went back, you just tapped away at the button for the shoot, and eventually he killed him. Mm.
I think there's no really way to do sort of controls that on a touchscreen. It just doesn't work.
Well, yeah, I was thinking about that concept as well. And is it just because we're used to it? I mean, like, kids who are growing up on only knowing this kind of touch interfaces, will it be natural to them? Because there was a couple of points where I was wandering about with Max Payne and really struggling to get him through a door. And it just reminded me of when I have forced my good lady to play, a game with me, like Red Dead Redemption or something like that, and she struggled in the same way because she just doesn't like the whole controls because she's just not grown up on it. So is it maybe something, it's not necessarily that it's the wrong way to do it, it's just because we're used to a different medium for that. Yeah, exactly.
She's a bit slow in the head as well.
yeah, she sometimes listens to this show.
But
the Back to the Future games are actually good. There's 5 of them. And actually, so much so, I've gotten up to the 3rd one, and they're quite big games, but they're very much like Monkey Island. They're kind of puzzle games, point-click adventures, and I would really rate them.
I like those, but they start to drive me insane after a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
It's point-and-click games, the only games that really work on a touchscreen.
And I think that was the only kind of immersive grown-up, if for want of a better word, like non-cut the rope, Angry Birds type game that I actually find worked. So I just thought I would try a few games and see if I could find one. And the ones that have been ported over from consoles, such as, albeit The Dark Knight hasn't exactly been ported because it's very similar mechanics and a very similar look and feel to Arkham City and Arkham Asylum, but it isn't the same game. So that's what I was playing this week. This podcast and all others wouldn't be possible without UK2.net. They've kept the British Tech Network alive and afloat for over 3 years now. They're brilliant and you should use them. We have a whole pile of voucher codes and various discounts and services for UK2. Now, to use them, yes, the guys are dancing along. They're that excited about UK2. If you head on over to thebritishtechnetwork.com and click on the sponsors link on the top, you will then go into there and you'll see all the voucher codes which will give you money off DNS domains, VPN server, and things like that. And there's also a link in there to go through UK2. Also, if you're wanting to go through to servicing, it would be great if you could use that link just so that we get the kudos for sending you through there as well. Once you get onto their site, buy everything that you need, pop in the voucher codes, and that's pretty much it. So there you go, UK2. They support British tech, and you should support them. So, moving on swiftly to our bargain basement challenge. Sam,
yay.
What did you have this week?
I had the Druid Mysteries.
With an amazing front cover.
The Mystery of the Druids, rather, with the Shouty Man, which has been quite appropriate this week because I've been fairly shouty. It didn't work.
Not at all?
No, didn't work. Installed it, went on fine, tried to play it, wouldn't work. Tried a few different bits and pieces, tried to run it in compatibility mode and a few other bits.
It just didn't work. Just that's a
didn't
shame.
Work.
It's 11 years old.
I have to say, yeah, it's 11 years old. I have to say, not that devastating. I did actually check on YouTube, and if you have a look on YouTube, there are some quite funny little videos about it. But yeah, I'm not devastated that I couldn't play it.
Okay.
Your soul has been saved this week.
Yeah.
Chiz, what did you have?
I had Tom Clancy's Endwar, which would have been better if I could find my damn mic from a PS3.
Isn't that the whole point of that game?
No, I don't know where Bluetooth mics went, but I couldn't find it anywhere. And it's all pointing towards the command. I mean, you can do it with a controller, but it involves like pushing up for the select unit, pushing, then pushing right, and go what unit you want, and but you have to go like through 10 list of commands to get the command you want. At that point, all your guys are dead.
How do you choose with the mic? Just out of interest, or how are you supposed to?
Yeah, just for example, it says
machine gunner, run.
I'm not entirely sure. I didn't even get that far because of the mic. But
what war do you think Tom Clancy's based
on? Don't care. I don't like modern things.
You who look like it, you need to be shot.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Right.
But, so it's just a case
red
of... It's just a case of... I think you just say, like, unit one, attack, and wherever you're aiming, and that's it. And your unit will be whatever, helicopters, riflemen, blah-de-blah-de-blah. And as RTS, it's an RTS game, it's not too bad. From what I played of it was all right. Although I'm not much of an RTS fan, it has to be a really good one to draw me in. It didn't really draw me in. The story was kind of like, bleh. It's basically set in the future, world's run out of oil apart from Russia, who's got it all. And, you know, everyone's basically, it seems like the point I got to look at is basically the whole war, the United States of Europe against Russia.
Right.
And the Americans as well. And, but yeah, it wasn't too bad for an RTS game, but awful camera view, like rather than being up and above, you're kind of swanning around the camera and you can lock onto but actually I still got confused of how to you start off locked onto one unit and you can't get away from them until you press something, and then I got free. Even then it confused the hell out of me, so I probably prefer just a proper top down view.
Yeah.
Just to clarify, is Russia, because they have everything, attacking and crushing everyone else, or are we the evil ones? Is Europe evil and is attacking innocent Russia to steal its goods?
Well, I did the prelude to the war in the story, which actually we have to do first, and it's World War III.
Okay.
And it's unknown people who are attacking attacking you. So it sounds like the Russians are like, hey, you've got everything. We should own the world now.
Nice.
I had, thank you guys, Farm Simulator 2011. Mm. Wow, what a game. This was incredible.
Did you have pigs?
No,
did you
I
have
was
pigs?
I was an arable farmer.
Why?
Because I wanted to drive stuff.
You can drive stuff. You
pigs are big enough to ride.
I totally yeah.
Actually, there's a really cool thing in Disney Universe, the game my daughter's got, and you actually ride pigs at one point.
That's pretty cool.
And you just kind of the two E's can get pigs, and you just ride them at the level of these little pink pigs. Anyway,
nice.
I honestly think this game might appeal to a kid who's interested in farming, or maybe a retired farmer, or maybe a middle-aged farmer who'd had his legs cut off and had to stay in the house all the time. Everybody else, I'm fairly sure, it would be like, I don't know, pokers in your nose or something like
Are you done with that? Can I have it now?
Yeah, you can play it if you want.
Yeah,
what were your options at the start? Did you have, like, did you get to choose what sort of farm you had, the structure of it, or did you just stray into it? And then what was the first thing you did?
The tutorial.
What did the tutorial teach?
This is your tractor. It's red.
Well, they obviously had... Well, I'm assuming it works the same in the farming industry as it does in, like, when you're making car games. But, like, they had all, like, the proper badges and stuff for all the tractors. And yeah. They looked kind of fairly legit and stuff. The biggest problem I had with the game, out of all, was the physics engine was horrendous. A paint pot lying on the ground.
How hard you drove into a horse that didn't fall over.
Well, no, there was a paint pot, and I'm in a tractor, like a big double-wheel, double, mm-hmm. like, four-back-wheel mm-hmm. tractor thing. And it flipped my tractor when I hit the paint pot.
Sweet!
It was on its side. But later on, I was in a combine harvester, massive big yellow combine harvester, yeah. and I went up a hill that was practically vertical in this huge combine. The physics engine was screwed. It was buggy as hell. The graphics, and it might just have been because I was running it in boot camp. I don't know whether that would make too much a difference. Maybe I didn't recognize the graphics card or whatever it was, but just jerky when I was like trying to scroll around. And I've got a reasonably new Mac. There's no way it was bad technology.
I don't know. You've got pretty dodgy hard drive.
Well, that's actually true. It might have been the hard drive.
I'll give it a go and I'll tell you. I'm quite looking forward.
I think you've been harsh enough for Jill's Dibner's first game. He did a good job there.
Yeah.
It was getting around was the other problem. It was because the map was huge. I mean, to be honest, I kind of was tempted to play a bit longer because I didn't hate it, but I had other things to do.
Could we do like
a zombie mod?
An Arma 2 and a zombie mod.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
The map was that huge and you're driving these really slow machines. It took ages to... Like, I didn't even get to the point of selling any of my crops. Because in theory, that's when the game kind of starts to get interesting, when you're selling crops. Well, interesting in quotes. When you're selling your crops and crap like that. Because I spend that long ploughing and sowing and fertilising and harvesting, moving on to the next field and dealing with that. And my fields were that far away. It was taking like 5 minutes to trundle along to the next field. If you're into that kind of thing, I think it was a good game. But
just a little bit too realistic, then.
Yeah, it was a little bit. What's a simulator?
Yeah, I know.
Apart from the physics.
Yeah, the physics was a bit poo. So, this week...
I'm going to have animals.
Chiz?
You're going to have animals?
Yeah. I'm going to run them down and come back.
All right, that's because you've got the game. Yeah. Right. What the hell are you talking about? I thought you just wanted animals.
The review from Games, TM magazine. A high-concept mix of mind-melting gravitational puzzles, beautiful graphics and intense FPS contact. Sorry? Combat.
Contact.
You've got Prey.
Oh. I owned this game.
Do you?
I've played complete it to death. Completed it.
Do you want a different game?
I can review it next week for you.
It's pretty good.
I'll give you a different game. Hang on, I'll give Sam his, and while Sam's getting mine, I'll get you another one.
I have that on PC.
Sam, I can't even find any. Put your trigger finger on
it's
the pulse.
It's so bad, no one reviewed it.
Put your trigger finger on the pulse of your modern warfare. Prepare your forces, General. It's time to engage in the next generation of real-time strategy. Command and conquer, Generals.
Oh, okay.
That one was £2.
Oh, sweet.
Right, while you get my game, I'm going to get you a different game, Chiz.
Just give him the box. I'll do a review for it, shall I?
You gonna do a review? All right.
Yeah. There is no box for this because we've stolen it from a friend.
the whole idea of this game is you're supposed to buy them.
Yeah, but it's right. It was under £3 because we stole the disc from a friend.
Okay. Right. Okay. What's the game?
It's Garden Simulator 2010.
Oh, for goodness. Garden Simulator.
Yep.
And my review for it is going to be, bring out your green thumbs. Action-packed in the garden, fight off gnomes. Scare away cats pooing on your lawn.
Well, he did go for that sort of farming idea of agriculture rather than animals. This might suit him.
Yeah.
Okay, Chiz, rewrite the rules of engagement. See through walls, glide above the action, or summon a demon to exorcise enemies while you teleport to safety. Shadowrun.
Okay.
Is this just an I thought this was just an online game, which the servers have been shut down.
Oh, for goodness sake, really?
I'll try it, but I suspect it's just going to be me running around an empty map.
That's pretty cool.
Oh, well done me. Right, okay.
I'll try it. Grand. I'll report back.
Okay.
I'll at least tell you about how it handles, what the graphics are like.
I think that's pretty much at the end of the show. I don't know why, it kind of feels a little bit awkward tonight because we haven't got picks at the end. We decided to cancel picks because essentially our pick was always the game we played that week, so we're not going to do picks. So I guess all that's left to say is you can contact us by emailing us at britishtechnetwork@gmail.com. follow the network on Twitter, British Tech News. You can follow me on Twitter, I'm at Paul Wheatley, which is W-H-E-A-T-L-E-Y. But most importantly, if you'd liked what you've heard and you want to give us a review, please head on over to iTunes and give us some stars and lovely message. We'll be forever grateful. We will read out some of the cleaner ones. We'll read out one stars, we'll read out five stars at the beginning of the show, but if you swear there, we're gonna have to bleep you. So that's it. Apologies if this has seemed a bit disjointed tonight. We've had some issues. I think I'm gonna have to replace my hard drive during the done stopping halfway through because the hard drive. Yeah, it just happened there. So, we'll hopefully have that sorted out for next week. Thank you very much for listening, and good night.
Bye.
Chitty bye.
Where's that badger gone?